Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
That's good. I'm just going to join a new friend into the class, if that's all right. I didn't have a chance to let you know. She's been learning with me, and her group fell apart. And she's
Okay.
just at more or less the same place that we are in this introduction that we've been learning.
Okay,
So love,
perfect.
yeah, lovely girl called Elena.
Lena.
Oh,
Okay.
Elena. So here we go. Sorry.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Alina. Oh, she's not there. Hi, Mia. Another friend is joining the class.
Hello.
Hi, Alina. Let me
That's
introduce you.
wonderful. Excuse me, I have to answer my phone. I'll be right back.
Okay. Life. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Alina. Let me
Let
introduce
me
you to
introduce you
Jody.
to.
Jody's in Minneapolis.
Hello there.
Yeah, Alina
What's
lives in
your name?
Sfat now.
Fun.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, wonderful. Jody comes a lot to Israel, so
Oh,
let's join
great.
Julie. Yeah, let's join Julie
I'm
instead.
back. Sorry.
Okay, very good. Mia, please meet Alina. She's joining the class for today.
Hello, Nina.
Yeah, her class fell apart, unfortunately. Collapsed. So we're more or less all at the same place, which is marvelous. And here's Julie. Hi, Julie love.
Hi.
Hi. So we've got on call today. We've got you in Miami and Elena in Sfat with me, and Jody in Minneapolis and Mia in Texas. So it's a miracle. It's a just an absolute miracle that we're all here together. And we'll be learning together. Elina's been learning this introduction with us in Sfat, and unfortunately the group fell apart. So very happily she was able to join with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for
Including me.
flexible. Thank you for your
Beautiful,
flexibility.
beautiful.
Yes, it's lovely to be together.
Wonderful.
All right, lovely. So we'll start off with our prayer. Okay. I'll read it in Hebrew and then I'll read it in English. And I want to dedicate it for the healing of a little baby called Ayali Ben Mayan, who's the grandchild of one of my chavrutas, who was born to a rather elderly first-time mum, and she's in Holland. And unfortunately, the baby's not too well at the minute. He's got some sort of fits, and they're very worried about him. And he's got an infection, so we really want to daven for Refuah Shleimah.
Thank you, Yadida. Can we also dedicate it to Shlomo Rindenau, who passed away this
Of course,
week?
yeah.
And yeah,
Did you know him?
I knew his family.
Oh my gosh.
His father was my teacher for 10 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for
Or an aliyah.
Aliyat Nishmato of Shlomo Rindenau. Do you know his
I
Ben?
think his Shlomo Zalman ben Mordechai. I think I'm missing a few names. Mordechai something something. I'm looking for his name, but I know it's Shlomo Zalman ben Mordechai
Okay, Lilui
something.
Nishmato of Shlomo Zalman ben Mordechai. He was the soldier who died in the, I think it must have been a training accident
Yeah.
in the Golan this week. Beautiful, beautiful family, beautiful young man.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He came from America to volunteer.
He did. He was a lone soldier.
Yeah. So he has a lot of zchuyot. Ribono olamim v'Adonai adonim, Avrahaman v'slichot. Modim anachnu lefanecha Adonai eloheinu v'le'avotenu, b'kidah v'shtachavaya, sheker avtanu l'toatzcha ul'vodatzcha v'dot ha'kodesh, v'natatza lanu chelek b'sodot ha'kodesh 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 ma'anu u'me ha'yeinu, asher esit imanu chesed gadol kazeh. Al'kein anap'lim tachanunenu l'fanecha, sh'tzimcho v'tislach l'kol chatotenu v'avonotenu, v'alu avonotenu mavdilim וכן רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתכונן את לבבינו ליראתך ולאהבתך, ותקשיב אוזני דברינו אלה, תפתח לבבינו הראל בסודות תורתך, ולימודנו זה נחתוך לפני כסאי כבודך כריח ניחוח. תציל עלינו אור מקור נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו, שיתנוצצו ניצוצות עבדיך הקדושים, אשר לידם גילית דבריך אלה בעולם, וזכותם, וזכות אבותם, וזכות תורתם ותמימותם וקדושתם, יעמוד לנו לבל נכשל בדברים אלו. ובזכותם תאיר עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמאמר נעים זמירות ישראל, גל עיניי ואביט הנפלאות מתורתך. כי אדוני ייתן חוכמה מפיו דעת ותבונה, יהיו לו רצון עם מפיו. הגענו בלפניך, אדוני צורי וגואלי. Amen.
Amen.
Master of the universe and Lord of lords, Father of mercy and of forgiveness, we give thanks before you, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, by bowing the head and prostrating ourselves, that you've brought us close to your Torah and to your holy service, and you've given us a portion in the meanings of your holy Torah. What are we and what is our life that you have done with us such a great loving kindness as this? Therefore, we lay our supplication before you, that you should pardon and forgive all our sins and iniquities, and please do not let our iniquities separate us from you. And may it be your will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, that you prepare our hearts to have awe of you and have love of you, and let our ears listen to these your words, and open our uncircumcised heart in the inner meanings of your Torah. And may this learning give pleasure before the throne of your glory, as a sweet-smelling fragrance, and may bestow upon us the light of our soul in all its aspects. And may the sparks of your holy servants flourish, and through whom you revealed these words in the world. And may their merit and the merit of their fathers and the merit of their Torah and their perfection and their holiness stand by us, that we will not stumble in these words. And through their merit, enlighten our eyes in what we've been learning. As the sweet singer of Israel said, open my eyes, and I will see the wonders of your Torah. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, knowledge and understanding. May my words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be forever acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Could you hear that? Okay, because something got messed up on Skype that they couldn't detect my microphone or something.
Yes,
okay, so it was fine. I don't know. Skype's funny sometimes. Great. Okay, well, we're up to paragraph 20, which is just about where Elena was up to, actually, last time, when we learned, which was quite a while ago. So let me just catch everybody in, on the page. Adam and Eve have eaten from the apple, okay, and consequences have happened. And the reason that there's consequences from eating from this apple is not actually punishment. The idea of reward and punishment in the Torah is not exactly punishment in the way we think about punishment. It's more like cause and effect. They're natural rules, okay? Just like there's rules of nature, there's natural rules which work also in spirituality of cause and effect. Now, if we work according to God's mitzvot, then naturally things flow. And if we do the opposite, then there's natural rules. And it's not anything of a punishment, it's just that we learn what these natural rules are. And in fact, God has mercy and he actually suspends the rules a lot of times so that we don't actually suffer the consequences straight away, but we're able to have a chance to rethink things and do tshuva and come back again and not have consequences, which is really like a suspension of the rules. So when Adam and Eve actually ate from the apple and there were consequences of it, it's not a punishment. It's just a natural consequence of something that naturally happened. And what they did was they brought into themselves this huge will to receive for themselves alone, which they had no vessel of coping with. They had no way of dealing with this. It was huge. And therefore, there was the natural consequence that happened with the first one, was that the soul, which was only belonging to the framework of goodness and of cleanliness and of purity, actually left them. And instead, they had a tiny bit of soul left, what's called a sweat drop of soul. And the one big soul that they had, one eternal soul, just split into all the tiny little souls which are shared out amongst the whole human community. And it, now the tikkun is done over, instead of being done in one bite by Adam and Eve, it's now done over the whole period of human existence until the Gemar tikkun. And the other consequence that happened was that the framework of uncleanness grew. And it grew because man is now, his body now belongs to the framework of uncleanness because he's taken that into himself. So his body is now in the framework of uncleanness. He's now got an ego. And he needs a whole framework to sustain that. Okay? So the sparks of light that had been brought into holiness after the a shattering of the vessels, and the sparks of light which had come from there and which had been brought into holiness and were sustaining the Garden of Eden have now left the Garden of Eden and have now in the framework of uncleanness. And what Rabbi Ashlag said was that they move from one framework to the other more or less in accordance with man's deeds. So if we're in a better consciousness, then those sparks will move over to the framework of holiness and life will go more smoothly. There'll be more plenty. There will be abundance. There won't be wars. There will be peace. There won't be droughts. There won't be earthquakes. And if man is behaving badly, then there's going to be all the consequences of war and terrorism, lo aleinu, and a drought, ecological disasters, and all those things. And that's why the sages say to us, whenever anything happens, they say, do tshuva. That's the answer. Now, they're not saying that, do repentance. That's not saying that to make us feel bad. They're saying that because that's the way to move the sparks into the framework of holiness and out of the framework of evil. Okay, give more power to the good. By examining our deeds, doing tshuva, doing more good deeds, giving a little bit more charity, whatever your mitzvah to be, we're helping move those sparks back into the framework of goodness. So whenever, something happens and we say, what can we do? God, what can we do? Every single person can do something. We can all take one thing in our lives and look and see where we're making a mistake and bring it into the goodness. Bring it into tshuva. We can do one extra mitzvah, do one extra positive thing, and that will help shift the energy into the framework of good. Okay? Any questions?
Not for me.
Great. Okay. All right. And then,
Yadida?
Yeah.
I have a question about severity. So when you do something negative and you take on some tshuva, the cause and effect, the way that I understand it, and it may that I'm coming from a logical place, not from a spiritual place, is that the severity of what you did wrong, you have to do that same kind of level right. Right, so you can't go kill someone and then go buy an ice cream to someone else. It has to be balanced, the cause and effect. You can't have to be balanced. You have to do something really great if you've done something really horrible. But it sounds to me like what you're saying is that's not actually true. Anything you do would make an impact.
I honestly don't know the answer to that, Lena. That it makes sense that there would be some sort of balance in it, the way you say. I wasn't thinking in terms of such extreme things, but I think that there's more factors than what you said, and I think, for example, that there's a great power in a lot of people banding together and choosing to do a mitzvah together, so that even if everybody's contribution on the individual is a small one, as a whole, it makes an impact. So there's a place for communal prayer. There's a place for communal help. And then I think that's got a synergistic effect as well. About the actual, you know, balancing, I'm sure that the great Sadi Kim, the great rabbis, actually knew that. And they would actually tell, you know, their Hasidim, you know, for this misdemeanor, for this whatever it was you did, put this tikkun and that will balance it. They were able to say what the tikkun was.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know things like that. It makes sense what you say, but I would still think that there's other factors involved as well.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Last week, we looked at the whole idea of how the world we see for itself alone, how the Sitra Achra actually manifests in the world by looking at the fact that pleasure is the father of life when it's given to the whole community, the whole spiritual entity. So that pleasure actually causes life to multiply. There's pleasure between man and a woman. There's pleasure for any of the animals when they have mate. That gives life, that fertilizes. Pleasure is the father of life. It gives life. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. But the pleasure has to be given to the whole of the spiritual entity. Now, then it's good and life-giving. But if there's pleasure only given to one aspect of the spiritual entity, to one part of it only, then it causes a cause of death. Now, he gave the example of a dog who scratched itself, or it got a little ulcer on its flesh, and it keeps scratching it. Now, the pleasure that it gets from scratching that ulcer is a pleasure which is only to part of the dog. Okay, it's not to the whole dog himself, and therefore, it actually eventually, by scratching it and the ulcer deepens, the poison goes in, and eventually the dog will die from the pleasure of the scratching. Now, if you extrapolate that to the human being, what we said earlier, that the whole of humanity needs to be considered as one spiritual entity. And therefore, if we act only to give pleasure, to give economic pleasure or any other type of pleasure, or political pleasure, or whatever it happens to be, to just one aspect of humanity alone without considering everybody else, then that will be a pleasure of division, a pleasure of separation, and eventually causes strife, causes war, causes drought, and causes the negative impact. Whereas if we are giving pleasure, but it's for everyone to help, for everyone to connect, everybody to benefit from, then that's a pleasure which enhances life. And that's more or less what we got to last week. Okay? So we're now going to carry on looking at these consequences that Adam and Eve caused by they ate from the tree of knowledge. And he goes on to say in paragraph 20, now because of these two consequences that we talked about, one was the fact that the soul left Adam and Eve, and the other one had to split up into little bits, and the other one was that now the framework of the sparks are now sustaining the framework of unconsciousness. Because of these two consequences, also the structure of the human body was changed from being completely suited exactly from the way in the way it was created in absolute exactitude for receiving the bounty of his existence from the framework of holiness. So man's body, man's physical body, in the way it was created, was absolutely exact, absolutely perfect. A perfect structure to receive the bounty of a person's existence from the framework of holiness. Because every correct action which has got endurance. Its parts will be maintained and kept from having either excess or deficit in any way. Whereas an action which is not in accordance and is not sustainable, its parts will be lacking, the way they work together won't work very well. They lacking suitability. And they will have either deficit or lack. And this is what it says in the Song of Unity. From all your work, you did not forget one thing. You did not cause excess or lack. And this, in fact, is a necessary rule that from a perfect worker has to come only perfect works. But when man passed over from the framework of holiness to the framework of the Sitra Achra, because of this additional addition that he got in his body through eating from the tree of knowledge, we find actually excess parts in the structure of a body which are without need, because they do not receive any bounty at all of their existence from the Sitra Achra. And we find this apparently it causes the bone of the luz. Luz, I think, is the bone at the back of the neck which joins the skull onto the neck. This is called into Midrash in Toledot. I never managed to find that reference. And apparently in every single vessel, organ of the body, there is excess tissue. Okay. So what has happened is that although man's body was absolutely suited for his purpose, for being a vessel for the soul, whilst he was in the framework of holiness, when he ate from the tree of knowledge and he brought into himself this extra will to receive himself alone, he got extra aspects in body, which the body changed, and he now has extra aspects basically in every vessel, which are not doing him any particular good. And he goes on to say, therefore, a man must take into his body more food than he actually needs, because the excess parts join in the demand which the body makes. And therefore, the body receives food for them. But in fact, these excess parts cannot receive their portion. And then these parts are left in the body as excess and waste, which the body then has to expel. So we find that the vessels for eating and digestion work away for nothing, and eventually deteriorate because their lifespan is, they're bound to wear out. As any action will happen that which lacks mezeg, I forget the word in English, suitability, it doesn't fit exactly, but in the end it falls apart. And so you find that the whole structure of the body has changed and is destined to death because of the sin of the tree of knowledge. Okay? Any questions? Everybody okay so far?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of obvious, isn't it? I mean, Adam in the Garden of Eden, had they say that he had a body of light, you know, that the ball of his, the heel of his foot was like so bright, it was bigger than seven suns or something. I'm sure it's a bit, you know, a bit of a midrash, but still, you know, I had a light body and his whole structure had to be different. That it was going to be permanent. Because if you remember, in Tapestry for the Soul, we learnt that for the definition of a perfect creator has to be that his work is perfect. Well, nobody could suggest that somebody's body who dies, you know, with sickness and illnesses and I don't know what else, you know, from the age of 70 onwards, that's obviously not a perfect structure. I mean, you know, ad mea vis rim. So therefore, we can see that the way man was originally created was perfect. And because of the sin of the tree of knowledge, the body that we have now is more of a temporary structure and has its own lifespan fixed within it.
Yadita, what is the Song of Unity?
Oh, right. No, Song of Unity. I found that one time. It's something that's a song that they sing in shul. I think it's on Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur. It's not a very well-known one at all. It's in the Ashkenazi tradition. But you can actually find it on the website.
What's it called in Hebrew?
Shir HaYichud.
Oh.
Yeah, it's let's see, I can find it for a link.
It's okay, I can find it later.
Okay.
I just wanted
to know. It's very long. It's a long, long poem. But it's Kabbalistic. On this, because I didn't know either. Yeah, it's in Wikipedia. Find it in Wikipedia. Okay. So now we can see and understand the issue of these two ways in which the world works that we looked at earlier. If you remember, some time ago, we looked at two main ways that people that happen with divine providence works with people. That God has organized things that when a child is born, generally speaking, he's surrounded by love, he's surrounded by people who love him and who raise him up and watch over him and take care of him the whole time that he is growing. And then you have other realities surrounded by love and goodness. And then you have the other reality that people can't find their basic sustenance and the scrap around a place like an abandoned battlefield. Do you remember? And we looked at these two ways in which the divine providence works. That on the one hand, you have love and beauty and protection and caring, and the other one where people just desperately trying to find their basic living. And he says, well, why do we have these two very opposite ways in which the world is conducted? And he goes on to say, this is because the conduct of the substance of reality has moved from the framework of holiness to the framework of the Sutra Achra. And this is because of the addition of the great will to see oneself alone, which has become connected with all children of this reality because of the eating of the tree of knowledge, which caused separation and opposition of form and hatred, even, between the framework of holiness and the structure of the bodies of people of the reality in this world. That their holiness cannot no longer sustain them and give food to them from its high level. And therefore, in order reality should not be destroyed. And in order to put them a process through which they can do their rectification, the general value of sustained reality, which is the 288 sparks of light from the shattering of the vessels, was the frame of the Sutra Achra. That they should sustain the whole of the children of all the children of the world whilst they are doing their tikkun. And for this reason, the order of existence, the orders of existence are very, very confused. Because from which people will come out of wickedness. But what are you going to do? If you listen to bounty to the human population, then for certain is suffering. To increase the bounty, then we find increased separation between those who are receiving God. But either way, you're stuck. And this is what the sages have said. A person wants one portion, and give him the one portion, he wants 200, give him 200, he wants 400. And just the will to receive, the more bounty he gets, the will to receive for himself gets bigger and bigger and bigger. On the other hand, if you don't give them the bounty, then the whole place will just fall apart. People will die. So if you give one portion, it's 200, if you give 200, it's 400. And it's just like the joy of separation, the way that we looked at last week with the ulcer. The increasing joy from the scratching only increases the separation and the suffering. And we find that the sustenance which they get increases such love, no sustenance, till man swallows up his neighbor alive. And the life of the body is shortened as well. Because through increasing the receiving, a person arrives quicker to that lot, bitter lot from the angel of death. And wherever you look, they're only accusing. Yeah. Any questions, comments, thoughts? So, whichever way you look at it, you're stuck. This is the whole problem. If the bounty was hastened, people would suffer because they don't have enough to eat. If the bounty increased, people get separated from God and the egos get bigger and the destruction follows because of the ego. Right? So that's the whole dilemma that is stuck in this stick. And the question is, how do we get out of it? And in the next paragraph he says, and in this you can understand what the sages have written in the Gemara Ketuvot, that a person needs to pray even before he brings Torah into his structure, into his body. He should pray. He should not bring in pleasures into his body. This is because the form of self-receiving, which is the opposite of holiness, increases and multiplies the measure of joy which is attained in his body. Receiving for himself alone, which is the happiness, he actually increases how much joy his body gets. And if he's doing that, how is it possible for him to acquire the light of Torah into his body, since he's already separated himself in opposition to form, in the extreme way from holiness? Hi, Jody.
Yeah, sorry.
Noises, yes. Okay, thanks. And so here he is. The more if he gets pleasures, he's going to be separated. And then great hatred exists between the person and the framework of holiness to which the Torah belongs. And they can't be together in one roof. And so therefore, a person first of all needs to pray that he shouldn't put pleasures and sensory pleasures into his body as much as possible. And then according to how much he's able to do in Torah and mitzvot, we find that very slowly he manages his merits to transform the form of receiving to that of receiving for the sake of giving. And we find that he makes his form in affinity with the framework of holiness. And then affinity of form and love can now be between them, just as it was before the sin of the tree of knowledge. And then he merits to the light of Torah because he's come into the courtyard and the presence of the Holy Blessed One. Actually, a beautiful paragraph which gives a lot of good advice. First of all, he says, okay, mankind's in this cleft stick that we talked about earlier. If he gets his sustenance from the Sitra Achara or the plenty, then he's just going to get more separated. But if you don't give him his sustenance, he'll be suffering and dying anyhow. So kind of stuck. Because the more you give the will to receive yourself alone, the further away you get. The sages say you don't have to stay in this cliff stick. There's another choice. You can get out of this whole game completely. You can choose to do good. You could just choose to do something different. You could get out of this whole game. You can choose to go to the framework of holiness. And there's two ways. First of all, to limit one's will to receive oneself alone. That clears the space for it. And the other one is to actually do Torah, give space to Torah. So the sages teach us, Sor mera v'aseh tov, turn away from evil and do good. So you do need to make a space for the good to come through. Okay? So you start off with Sor mera, turning away from evil. Rabbi Ashlak says, pray that you don't bring sensory delights into the body first. Okay? But either way, if you have, just let them go. It's said than I know, but still, try to let them go. And then that leaves that space for the Torah to come in. So, Sor mera v'aseh tov. Okay? And then the moment you've got Torah in your framework, you're making a connection with Torah, then you're attracting to yourself the positive, the will to do good, the will to get out of that whole thing and go towards the positive. And that way, slowly, slowly, one transforms one's will to receive oneself alone into the will to give, and then ultimately into the will to receive for the sake of giving. Okay? And then a person is in absolute affinity of form with the whole framework of holiness, and there is love between himself and the framework of holiness, just as it was before the sin of the tree of knowledge. Okay. Wow.
I had a question, but you clarified it, but I just wanted to say it anyway. When you said something that we need to pray not to have pleasure or something like that, it was confusing for me because I've always learned of Judaism as we should be interacting with the material world and we should make it holy. Like saying blessings for food and even sexuality could be very holy. And then when you said not to receive for yourself alone, so that to me resonated more than saying to ask not for pleasure. Like instead of not asking for pleasure, saying not asking for to receive for myself alone so that everything that I'm receiving actually goes up to a greater good.
I think that's a good clarification. Yeah, thank you. The Gemara actually says, "Ad she'adam yitpalel she'tikanes Torah letoch gufo, yitpalel she'lo yikansu ma'adanim letoch gufo." Ayin sham. The Gemara actually says that before a person prays, that you can bring Torah into his ego, into his body. It's difficult to know exactly what the word guf here means. He should pray that not to bring in sense, like ma'adanim, is like delicacy. Or something into his body. So I think that that's important to understand. What does that mean? First of all, yes, you're right. The moment you make a bracha on something, you're raising it up. So it's clearly not if you can make a bracha on something, that's not what this means. But I do find it relevant to my own life, especially nowadays. The temptation to, you know, watch the news, go to the media, bichla, general, it does take away time and it takes away energy and it takes away focus and concentration. And instead of getting the pleasure from the Torah, which is a much more subtle pleasure and needs much more effort to do, people start to look for these quick, easy pleasures, which are just at the click of a button now. And I think to sort of like restrain oneself from going down the slippery slope of the internet, a prayer is very handy. I think it is worthwhile to actually pray, dear God, help me confine my internet work or whatever it is, or my media, whatever it is. Help me confine it to what something, to a place where I can do good with it. I don't think the connotation of having fun or pleasure as such needs to be a negative one. I think we should enjoy ourselves. I think you're right about that. But I think we need to like try to focus enjoyment on things which are going to be positive and helpful to others or to our learning or something like that. And just like emphasize that aspect in our lives and give it space. That's what I'm hearing from it.
Yeah, it's just about really clarifying when pleasure, as in things that are numbing, pleasure is things that might take us, I find that if I get on the computer, I can totally lose track of time and just feel completely blurred. It sort of pulls you in. It's like the pleasure, if you think about pleasure as in sort of like what people, an addictive substance or something, as opposed to joy. Joy is a whole different experience. The joy of learning, the joy of being, that's a higher, that it's not like God doesn't want us to have joy. It's more of this kind of like the pleasure that's everybody wanting to sort of feel good just so they don't almost, you know what I'm saying? That,
yeah, absolutely. It's a very good definition. Yeah.
I like seeing something to cover up something else. Yeah.
I think you're right. I mean, very often, you know, people turn, I myself do it. I mean, you know, I find myself, you know, clicking again on the news because I don't want to face something that I really actually do need to face, or because I don't know quite why, you know, sometimes it's kind of a numbing thing.
Well, that the force is so great right now. It's so intense. So we do have to really, it takes a lot of consciousness to stay away from that.
It does actually. It's huge. And so, but I think a prayer does help. Like just to say to God, you know, God, I find the internet really, you know, sucking in. I want you to help me, you know,
yes,
not do it. I actually found one time, you know, there's a prayer for going on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found a tefillah sederach for surfing the internet.
Yes.
It was actually.
It is a journey.
Huh?
Down a rabbit hole.
It's down a rabbit hole, absolutely. I'll see if I can one time find it again. It's absolutely brilliant. And if you can't, then you can easily write one. You know, a prayer for you know, for surfing the internet.
For protection, really.
Yeah, it's important that we only go for things which are worthwhile and which are helpful. The internet, I mean, look at us together. This is just like one of the most wonderful things. I can connect with everybody and everybody can hear me and I can hear everybody. And we're all scattered all over you three are in America, scattered all over America. And me and Alina in Sfat. It's just the whole thing's a miracle.
It is.
So there's the miracle of the internet. And at the same time, there's the danger of it. So I think, you know, to have that wisdom and to know when, and I think, Alina, you clarified it when you said that, you know, if we make a blessing on the positive and use the world for the positive, use the pleasures for the positive, then we are, you know, moving it over to the will to give. And instead of just receiving, we're moving it towards giving. And I think that's what the Gemara actually says is the solution to this whole cleft thing that we were stuck in. How are we doing for time? Huh? Gosh. Okay. We've got about 10 minutes. Dean, maybe.
I have, a short question. When, I don't know who just spoke, but when she was talking about joy, I really love that. And I was thinking about pleasure and joy, like where do they come together in a positive way? And I thought about play for like kids when they play.
Sure.
It's really joyful and it's filled with pleasure. So my question is, according to Rabbi Ashlag, that kind of expression in the world, a child at play, is that a holy expression?
He doesn't actually refer to that particularly, I don't think. But it does. Wait a minute. In the Tanakh, yes, there is. It's Ben Yakili Ephraim Im Yeled Shashim. This whole beautiful piece, which actually is in tapestry, which is actually describing the end of days when all the will to receive will be transformed to the will to give. And it's exactly in those terms that Ephraim is a precious son, the child of my shashuim, the child of my pleasure, the child of my delight. And shashua means playing, like tsatsua in modern Hebrew is a toy. I've got my tapestry right here. Hold on. Let me see where it is, and I'll read you the quotation. Yeah, that's a beautiful... It's a beautiful idea. Okay, so I think it's paragraph 39, if I remember. Let's see, 36. Yes, here it is. Yeah. Now it has been explained that the desired purpose of the Creator in carrying out the creation is only to give pleasure to his created beings in order that his created beings should recognize his truth and his greatness. They should receive from him all the good and the pleasantness that he has prepared for them. Its measure is indicated in the quotation. What a dear son Ephraim is. He is my darling child. But in fact, the Hebrew is actually Yeled Shashuim, which is a child who's playing. Like Tsatsua is a toy, is Shashua is having fun, having joy. Whenever I speak of him, I earnestly remember him. My compassion is stirred for him. I shall surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. So yeah, he uses that simile to say this is the pleasure and the joy in a positive way. I think it's reflected in the name Yitzhak. You know that Sarah called Yitzhak which means laughter. He will laugh for the end of days. It's a prophetic name because at the end of days, when all the tikkun will be finished, we will all look around at each other and we'll burst out laughing.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I believe that's the first time it's ever made sense to me, the name, why she named him, and you shall laugh.
Yes, Yitzhak had the power of the redemption. That's why, first of all, because of the Akedat Yitzhak, but he had that anyhow. He had that innate ability. He has the vessels for the power of redemption. And that's why he had the blessings. He was able to give these blessings, and these are the blessings for the power of the Gemara Tikkun, of the end of the Tikkun, was actually given to Yitzhak. And that's why he had to give these blessings, and it had to go to Jacob. Now, what's really fascinating with this whole story is that Jacob had to have received these blessings not as Jacob, but as if he was Esau. And it had to happen that way. And Rebecca knew that, because if Jacob had received these blessings only as Jacob, then Esau's vessels would have been left out of the redemption.
Wow.
And that's why, in the meaning of why Jacob had to wear Esau's clothes, because clothes, the inner meaning of the clothes is the vessels. So he had to take on not only his own, but also Esau's as well, so that all of it would come in and receive the blessing for the end of the tikkun. And that was the real reason why it had to happen that way. Because if Isaac had known that Esau, he first of all just wanted to bless Esau, because Esau actually has the biggest vessels and more suited for the end of redemption. But the problem was that Esau was not doing the tikkun. He was actually evil and going out and into the fields and slaughtering and doing evil. And Isaac, but God deliberately didn't tell Isaac that. Because if God had told Isaac this, then he would never have given the blessings to Esau. And those vessels would have been left out of the Gemara Tikkun completely. And he would have just have given blessings to Jacob. But that wouldn't have been enough because Esau's vessels also have to come in. So that was Jacob who had to be the carrier of the blessings because he's the one who's doing the Tikkun. So therefore, Jacob had to wear Esau's clothes and receive the vessels for and receive the blessings for both of them. And these are the blessings for the Gemara Tikkun. And so Yitzhak, his name Yitzhak, is actually for the Gemara Tikkun, is for the end of the Tikkun. This is an amazing piece of Zohar. I learned it over the last couple of years. And it changed every way I saw Jacob. It changed it completely. Because, you know, the story on a literal sense is absolutely awful. And it helped me understand Yitzhak. It helped me understand Jacob. It helped me understand Rivka. And I saw how God arranged that everybody played their part exactly right to bring the best possible solution. So that Jacob, and we are the children of Jacob, we're the children of Yaakov, that we have the tikkun to do. And I find that a very heartening thought, because however tough it gets, and it gets very tough for many of us, both in our personal lives and in our communal lives, it gets very hard indeed. However tough it gets, we always have to remember, we are the children of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and they gave us their strength, and they gave us their abilities, and we can do it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's an amazing question, Alina. You brought us to Yitzhak.
Yay.
Yay, absolutely. Baruch Hashem.
Oh, that was so powerful, that whole revelation around that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. I did a podcast on it once. It's there on my website somewhere about Jacob and Esau, but there's so much in that.
And I remember when you taught us that, I guess it was maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah.
I remember sharing that with Karin. She was so inspired by that.
I find it blows me away each time. And that's like what the Zohar does. I mean, it shows real intentions. What was the real intention of Yitzhak? What was the real intention of Yaakov? What was the real intention of Esav? And that's why it's called the Razei Torah, called the secrets of the Torah, because intentions are hidden. God's intentions are hidden. God's intentions in the mitzvot are hidden. We often don't know what the reason for the mitzvot are. And the Zohar helps us understand what the intentions were. And when we understand intentions, the whole thing makes more sense. Beautiful. I think Shabbat also, and the Chagim, is a time also where pleasure and joy come together. The pleasure of the good company, the pleasure of the food, the pleasure of the peace, the pleasure of the laughter, and also on the festivals as well. These are times of great pleasure and joy. And that's when, you know, when it comes together, when pleasure and joy also comes together.
I was thinking about that, you know, how important it is to have like hobbies and personal things that give people inner joy.
Yes.
Which is satisfaction, because we're better people when we're still, you know, excited about life and excited about doing good things, whatever those good things are.
Yeah.
That
that give us juice and spunk and fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Jody. Absolutely. And then that gives us the pleasure and the joy and the koach, you know, the strength to go on and do other things as well and help others.
And I think that might be part of the secret that is missing for so many people that, especially workaholics, that think that they're going to get all their pleasure from their professional lives, because they come, it comes a time where they get to a road and it's like, okay, I can't work 900 hours a day.
Yeah.
What else is there in my life? And then they're like empty because there's nothing but, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's interesting that it was there was like this built-in balance factor. Because when you look at the world and say, why is it that my life, you know, thank God is so good and all these people are homeless and starving and living in wars, you know, in wars and things like that. And my understanding of what we learned is that, you know, that's sort of part of the balance, because some have to suffer more so that others can do more or love more or work, have more compassion.
I think so. I mean, definitely, you know, suffering calls for compassion, doesn't it? And I think that's important that we don't remain, you know, deaf to compassion. But when other people are suffering, not say, oh well, it's their problem, but to be, you know, willing and able to be open to it and to recognize that we are all one human soul, one soul together. And like you say, if others are suffering, then we can join with them and give them from our joy and our pleasure. And be able to give to them. And of course, to have be able to give, you've got to have some joy. You've got to have that happiness, that inner happiness. So happiness is basically a good thing.
It's just knowing what to do with the happiness.
Yeah, I think so.
Keeping it positive.
Keeping it positive and trying to do work that will benefit everybody, will benefit not just, you know, my own self, my own family, but to allow it to move and spread. And that's important. Great. We did loads.
Thank you.
It was wonderful. Okay, so we finished paragraph 20, and we'll do 21 next week. It's what a shame.
Could I make a request?
And yeah.
If the answer is no, that's fine.
Yeah.
I really love hearing the Hebrew. If people are open to hearing the Hebrew also, be great.
Yeah, I love that too.
You love it too? Okay, I didn't do it this week because sometimes I wondered if it was confusing for people who haven't got the Hebrew in front of them.
Even if I can't read it, I still want to hear it.
Okay, very good. All right, very good. So, you know what? Maybe I should just read the Hebrew as a paragraph, and then go back and translate, and not do line by line. Because sometimes I do it line by line, and I wondered maybe that was confusing the listener who doesn't have the Hebrew in front of them.
Yeah.
So, okay, very good. No problem. Very good. All right, wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's lovely. Thanks, Elena. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for including me.
Yeah, sure. Terrific. I'm happy.
It's great.
Very good. Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jody. Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. Thank you.
Bye. Hi, Julie, my darling.
Hi, baby.
I've missed you so much.
I know.
Where have you been? Were you with Mackie?
No, I'm going to be with Mackie. Actually, I'm going to be with Mackie. I'm leaving on Sunday to travel with him for 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're taking a trip together.
Fantastic. Where are you going?
We're going to go to Italy.
Really? That's lovely. You take care. I don't like what's going on in Europe.
I know. I know. Each day, some days I'm so excited, and then another day I'm like frozen.
Yes. Why are you going to Italy? What made you choose Italy? Oh, Italy was on the agenda a while ago, wasn't it?
He was supposed to, yeah, I was going to meet him, and then we couldn't. And Italy is really like Poppy spent, my dad, that was the place like that I went a lot with my dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just wanted to show him, he wanted to, you know, it was just a way for us to spend time together and for him to experience another country. But yeah, so I know Italy pretty well, but I am very cautious.
Yeah, I know. Mind you, a friend of mine, she just came back from Italy. She had a lovely time.
She did?
Yeah. She's Italian herself. She's my Tai Chi teacher. She's Italian.
And where was she in Italy? Do you know where she's from?
Probably Rome. I think Rome. I'm not sure. I think it was Rome.
Well, I'm gonna try to get out of Rome. I think I'm gonna just be there a very short time.
Yeah, go to the countryside.
That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, countryside, you'll be fine. I'm sure you'll be fine. I'm sure the main problem is the big cities. The countryside, nobody's gonna bother you there.
Yeah, I don't want to be in places where there's a lot of crowds.
No. I was on the bus yesterday coming back from Jerusalem. And I was sitting next to a very lovely family from Holland. And they were on holiday here in Israel. Dutch family. Very nice. Not Jewish. And I said to her, you know, is there a lot of Muslims in Holland? Because I know that number-wise, it's not going to be a free country much longer. Their numbers, democratically, they're going to be in trouble soon.
In Holland. How about Germany? Woohoo!
Yeah, well, Germany serves them right. And she said that where she lives, she doesn't notice the Muslims particularly. I suppose they're concentrated in certain areas. And so long as you keep out of those areas, you'll be all right. Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It makes me laugh. It's sad. I mean, they murdered or expelled all their Jews of Europe. There's no Jews of any real numbers left in Europe anywhere. And they expelled or murdered them. And so they created a vacuum. And so now they're filling the vacuum with Muslim refugees. I mean, Zygos, don't you? That's what you really want. It's really unbelievable. They really did an awful swap, didn't they?
The worst.
Absolutely.
Everything's getting crazier and crazier.
That's absolutely mad.
It's madness. Like, it's madness. How about this? I mean, really, total madness. And talk about numbing to the internet. I mean, please. Oh, my God. I know.
Oh.
So, next week, if I am away, God willing, I don't know what time is it there?
Oh, in Italy? Oh, now?
No, what time is it for you right now? And yeah, is it the same time as Italy or is it?
It's about an hour difference, I think. An hour difference.
So you're an hour later?
Let me see.
Check this out.
Yeah. Meeting. Oh, I could just put in a time. Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. I found the clock meeting. This is good. So let's say Rome.
Yeah, Rome it's 7 now, and Tel Aviv it's 8.
That's right.
Okay, so you start the 6th. Okay, I don't know whether I'll be there. I have, you know,
go. Okay, you can't tell.
Yeah, but
I'll record it for you. Anyhow.
Okay, love.
All right. So in any case, I'm going for my friend Francesca.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, if I can be there 6 to 7 and then Mackie, yeah. I mean, it might work out fine.
It might actually. You might want to rest in the hotel or something at that point.
Yeah.
Sure. Be wonderful. Yep. Wow. Do a short run.
Yeah, we're going to be there and then leave on Wednesday and drive to the countryside.
Beautiful. 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 And what about James? Is he staying behind?
Yeah, he's not really up for going right now. Okay. He's working hard, and he's going to be here with my mom, you know, make sure my mom's okay.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. this is kind of like, this has just been something that Mackie and I have been kind of had on hold. So be a special time for us.
That's lovely.
And, you know, I think in some ways I'd really be happy just going a couple hours down the road here, but, Mackie's so big on adventure, boy.
Okay.
He's so big on adventure.
Yeah. Why not?
So I feel like this is a, if, you know.
Yes, and I think it's wonderful. Have a lovely time. You deserve it. It's not like you see Mackie every week like I saw, you know, my boys, you know, when they were growing up. I mean, most times they came home Shabbos. You know, it's not like that. When Mackie's in college, you don't get to see him as often as I got to see mine. It's good.
I don't. And then, and I figure now, before, you know, he has
up with a girly
partner and everything like that. You
absolutely.
Know,
absolutely. Enjoy it while you've got it. It's important.
I think you've actually inspired this too.
Yeah, I know. It's been a really hard time for me, I can tell you. It's really, oh, so really hard. Never mind. It's part of the world. It's part of growing. And you know what? It's in the funny, I mean, I'm missing him very much. It's very hard. But at the same time, Julie, it's freeing me up. Because, you know, I didn't even begin to, I didn't look to see if I wanted another partner after Mark. I never even looked. I was so filled with the children and filled with everybody, huh?
Yes, of course. I wondered about that.
I never even looked. I had 4 children and they needed me. The youngest was only 6. And I knew that first of all, I could see that even the mention of anybody drove Iggy into a frenzy. He was jealous. He didn't want me to get involved with anybody. And so I thought, you know what? So I won't, you know, 4 kids. I was busy. I had enough to do, you know. But now with Iggy out the house, I mean, Iggy gone, you know, he's emotionally gone more. And Asafi and Bina are out the house completely. And Bracha is here, but much, much, much less. Most of the week.
They would welcome a male presence, you know, if the right one that would be right for you, they would be thrilled.
I would, absolutely. I mean, I think Iggy would have seen it as a rival, way, and I think Iggy was very jealous of that. And I'm glad that I didn't even look while he was around, but because he very much took Mark's place, and he wouldn't. That was important to him. But he's not here now, and I've talked about it with the others, with Safi and Bina and Brach, and they're quite open to it. They're quite open for me to look for somebody.
You know, that's it. This change,
yeah,
really, really forces you to really do your full grieving process that maybe you didn't fully do.
For certain, I didn't. There's no doubt about it, Julie. You know what? I had the shiver, okay? And then day 8, you've got to get up and prepare the sandwiches and get this done and that done and the other. It's 4 kids. It wasn't a joke.
Thank God for the 4 kids.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It was wonderful.
Yes and no. You know, it's like, of course. It's like,
Oh, yeah. I it would have been hell without them. I can't even imagine it.
I remember when I first met you and I, and you said, we were talking about that, and you said that it's not right to grieve, that it's just we have to be joyful, that I think David had told you that.
Yeah.
And I felt like there's something missing here. This, yes, of course, but we still have to, there's something that lives, that still lives, that there is a natural letting go grief process, and that's not always, I guess joy is, even grief can be joyful. Even grief can be joyful because that when the tears are shed and the release happens, there is joy again. It's and if joyful. We hold that, it gets heavier and heavier.
It does. It so really does. And I think that's part of the heaviness around this wedding was a lot of grief, you know, unexpressed over Mark was like also
and
grief.
You also got thrown into shock again.
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, God.
And, you know, that's it. It wasn't just the grief, it's the shock. It's like one thing if you knew you were by his bedside and you had a little time to know that he was passing.
Right.
It was fast. That's for us, the shock of it is so big too.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
yeah,
then,
you're saying.
And then when Iggy went and kind of shocked you again.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible.
That was like a homeopathic detoxification.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how homeopathy gives you the same kind of poison that you that they kind of match the
right.
the disease with the thing so that it'll kind of phoom, come out of your system?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was hard.
You know, it's a good, the group I like with the new member, it's it went deeper today.
Alina, she's lovely.
Yeah, Alina holds a really deeper space.
She does. I like. Oh, yeah, she does. She really does.
Yeah, I needed that. I really do.
I know. Alina's really remarkable.
I think that's great because I was feeling a little limited in the exchange, you know?
I know. Well, Mia actually, when she talks, which isn't always, but when she talks, you can often hit on something pretty deep. Jodie will sometimes do that, not very often. Jodie more listens. But sometimes Mia will be quite silent. Mia didn't say a single word the whole day today, the whole time today.
I think she's, it seems like she's very connected to you and very connected to the study.
Who, Mia?
Yeah.
Oh, very, very, very.
Yeah.
Mia's listening. I know very well. First of all, I know that both Jodie and Mia are listening. And I know that Mia, when she doesn't say anything, it's not because she's gone off in her space. She's really there. She's just deeply in it. That's all.
And you know, it has to work. This, it's a whole different way of, it's a whole nother way of thinking and feeling. Into things.
Mm. Listen, every group has got its own energy. Group has
but
its own
But I like the
energy.
Fact that she's in here now. I feel better because...
Yeah, it's a different field, definitely.
Yeah.
Alina's amazing.
I do. Yeah. I needed to feel that a little more depth of interaction.
I think what it is with Alina is that she's able to... She's very... connected with her head and her heart in a way she's able to express that. Jodie is, but she doesn't express it very much. But Alina's able to express it, and that comes out in the Skype course lessons. She's great. I really love her. She wants to be part of a group as well.
I know that all those women are wonderful, wonderful. And maybe if I was in the room with them.
Oh, you'd love them. You would love them. You would love them, Jolie. Julie, you would love every single one of them.
I know I would.
You would.
And
you
it's
would.
Difficult over the Skype to sort of, you know.
Pick up who they are, I mean, the thing is, we don't have video. And the reason we haven't got video on is because it crashes all the time. You know.
I don't want video because, the video, you can feel into somebody. If I don't always feel people when I see them on the screen.
Yeah, but I can with their voice.
Yeah, it's distracting.
Yeah, I find the video distracting. And also, it, like I said, it crashes the whole time. It's a pain in the neck. But with audio, you can hear in people's voices. And everybody's got used to it. They've got the material, and they're focusing on the material, and they're listening to me. And I'm really amazed at how they pick it up and what I'm saying. It's really incredible.
It's so... Yeah, I think that without the video, you can connect more to the inner process too.
I feel that as well. I prefer it. I feel that when somebody's voice is in my ears, how much closer can they be to me? You know,
yes,
so close.
And there's one thing that I didn't really want to bring up in the group because it would have. I was going to, but then you kept going. So
okay,
so you mentioned Luz. I think I might have told you that because this is another. We're that's a whole different we can work with that later. I don't want to go into the study, but I told you about that book that I had about the Holy of Holies and how it was connected to, there was a connection to Luz. Where is this? It's really powerful. It's just, there's a guy who's, I think he's in the States.
Mm-hmm.
His name, I'll show it to you. I think I must have told you about this, but just trying to find it real quick because you might want to look it up. I am very nervous about traveling. I don't like to travel.
Okay.
That's separate from what I'm trying to find now. But I would only do it for Mac. I wouldn't do it at all any other way.
Okay.
So I'm just going to listen. And if I get a sense that it's really not, you know, even in the last hour,
mm-hmm.
I won't do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say about etzema luz, the luz bone? It's the bone which is at the top of the spinal cord which fixes.
Yes,
the...
I know. Let me tell you something. Really,
yeah.
Find it. What he said was that if you see into that, mm-hmm. it looks like the doorway to the Holy of Holies.
Oh, wow.
And that gland inside of that is the eternal light, and that light can be connected. So, wait a minute. This is really powerful. I'm just trying to find it real quick. Please, just one moment. I was working with that book for a while, and then I put it on my shelf, so I'm just trying to find where I put it. The guy's name, it's called, I'll tell you what the name of the book is. The Jerusalem, would it be called the Jerusalem Stone? And just a moment, I'm going to see if you can see it and tell me the name of the, All right, well, I'm going to go look it up real quick.
All right.
It's important. He's got this whole diagram and everything. And it's fascinating. It's really fascinating.
Mm.
You don't see anything, do you?
Nope. I looked up the stone and all I get pictures are of walls of Jerusalem. So beautiful, actually.
If I look it up on Amazon...
Oh, on Amazon, that's a good place. What, the Jerusalem Stone?
I think that's what it would be called.
Okay, let's look at that there.
You have to go to your next class?
No, I'm done for today. Got to make supper, though. That's all right. Oh, we got the Jerusalem Stone Consciousness, DMT Kabbalah and the Pineal Gland. By Joel Dave Baxt. Found it.
Yeah. Look at that for a second. I have to run right outside to give the man a letter. I'll be
off
right
you go. Okay.
Here we go. It's a fascinating thought. Did you see?
Yeah, I have. Yes, it's definitely about the Jerusalem, about the loose bone. It definitely, it says so in these reviews. Let's see if I got look inside the book. Oh, here you go. Look inside the book. Here we go. Table of contents. It's got a table of contents. Oh, it doesn't have
they have a picture in the back. Let me see if I can get it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen this picture.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
God. Yeah, that's what it made me think about.
Wow. Wow.
See that?
Yeah.
That second one where the head is?
Yeah.
Where it says pineal?
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Really? Yeah.
And how the ears are kind of like the wings in our brain?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I prefer Rabbi Ashlag. This is too much for me.
I know it is, isn't it? Yes, it's very
it's too much, too much. It's too powerful.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. Not for me.
I know.
Because I just wanted, you know, to...
Well, you just need, we just need just the practical human day-to-day how to be with each other, how to...
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just gets...
It's just like, it's too much, you know?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. But the only reason I mentioned that, I'm glad I didn't say it in the group, was just because of that there was this... This material that this guy was really working with there.
Yeah, I think it's good you didn't say it on the group.
Okay, love, I'm going to go because I have a lot to take care of.
Well, certainly, yeah, have. So you're going, when are you going? A few more days?
On Sunday, yeah.
Sunday. Okay, yeah, I bet you've got a lot to do. Well, you take care, my darling.
You too, my love. I'm so glad to hear you.
Yeah, I loved you. Yeah,
I love you so much.
I love you too. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It was a lovely class today.
Really, really wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Baruch Hashem. I hope Alina will stay with us. I rather think she will because her group just fell apart completely. So you know, she might just stay with us. I hope so.
Me too.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay. Take care.
I love you.
Love you too. Bye, darling.
Bye, darling. Love you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.